Coming up on today's show.
I feel like God's put me there that day to do a job, and I've done all the preparation. I did all the work, the rest, the recovery, the nutrition, all of the things that are required for me to be my best. And I almost feel like the results are not up to me.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. That's it, really, just once a week. I will keep this vague, but there is a Catholic service out there that I recently got on the email list for, and wow, over the course of 7 hours, they sent me 4 emails. And that is a big part of why I only email you once a week. While you are on the website signing up for that, look at the top of any page on the site, and you will see social media links, logos for this show, meaning Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group, consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. I love hearing from listeners, and so social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. I have always believed that if we feel we are hearing a message over and over, there's not only a strong likelihood that we were clearly intended to hear it, but that it must be important. On this show and in sports, the topic of leadership comes up a lot, rightfully so. Who, if starting up a team, would happily do so with all rookies? Veterans bring wisdom, experience, knowledge, and a real sense of caring. During training camps, you hear about rookies who just attach themselves to teammates who have been playing for many years and carry so many lessons. Who are we looking to in our daily lives for guidance? Do you talk to your pastor or a parish priest or even a deacon with any degree of regularity? Do you have a spiritual director you look to for counsel? Or do you make light of your struggles and maybe surround yourself with a bunch of yes men? In the Old Testament, we are encouraged to make the right choice in who we seek out for guidance. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12 says, quote, "Words from the mouth of the wise win favor, but the lips of fools consume them," end quote. Or as it says in the King James Version, "The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious." In case you did not hear last week's interview with Father Jason Nyoka, it was preceded by me announcing that Christian Healthcare Ministries has come on board as a sponsor of Catholic Sports Radio. Christian Healthcare Ministries is healthcare done differently. They are a biblical alternative to traditional health insurance. It is healthcare that aligns with your faith, is affordable, and flexible. You can join anytime. Visit chministries.org/catholic-radio to learn more. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is the punter for the New York Jets, entering his 17th season in the NFL. He was chosen in the 5th round of the 2009 NFL Draft by the New Orleans Saints and went on to play his first 12 seasons with them before playing for both the Jets and the Atlanta Falcons in 2021, then the Miami Dolphins in 2022, and back to the Jets last season. He is coming off a 2023 season during which he set 4 New York Jets franchise punting records. He had played collegiately at Southern Methodist University, and on the faith side has a conversion story that involves a familiar name from this show's guest list. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Thomas Morstead.
All right, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Thomas. Thank you. Let's start off by having you tell us first where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
Pearland, Texas, which is southern Houston, basically. And just me and my brother. So there were four of us in the family. I was the oldest.
We're going to eventually hear a conversion story because you did not grow up in a Catholic household. Share with us about what your faith life looked like as a young boy in the Morstead household.
Went to church every Sunday. My mom was very active in Sunday school, and it wasn't a sometimes thing. It was an every week thing. And, you know, it was a very serious part of my upbringing. And I'm very grateful to my mom specifically for always making it a priority. And so I'm just very grateful to her for that.
But the Christian denomination you were raised in was?
It was Lutheran.
And so was your schooling public schools? Was there any religious education? What did that look like?
Public school. I started public school in fourth grade. So prior to that, I was in a little private school, but it was not a, a Christian-based private school. So yeah, started public school in fourth grade and did that all the way through till college.
And then how and when did you get started in sports? Was there one person that encouraged you to play sports, or did you just take to it on your own? And for that matter, did you play anything other than football?
Yeah, I was a soccer guy, played basketball, did karate.
Wow.
And really, soccer was always my main thing. Hmm. I just loved soccer. It was my favorite sport growing up, and I was very good at it, scored a lot of goals. And football, I did seventh and eighth grade. I broke my leg at the start of ninth grade in a scrimmage, and then didn't really play after that until I went out for the team my senior year of high school.
I'm curious about the soccer. Was that something you took to on your own, or did your father or somebody push you in that direction, encourage you, and kind of recommend soccer to maybe be your sport?
No, I mean, I just got put in it at 4 years old. My dad was actually a professional cyclist.
Wow.
And very easily could have, you know, pushed me into the cycling world, and never, ever did that. I'm sure he would have loved for me to, you know, pick up cycling and been able to do that with him. But he just let me do my thing. And at the same time, I would say both my parents were extraordinarily encouraging and continue to be to this day.
Just wonderful. Just wonderful. And you played college football, as I said in the intro, at SMU. Take us back to those years. Were you all about football, 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 maybe thinking NFL? Did you get caught up in the college scene being an athlete? Was there any practice of faith for you going on during your time there? Take us back to the SMU years.
Yeah, sure. So I was a tryout player in college. I was actually not even a preferred walk-on. So I didn't show up to practice until the first day of school my freshman year. And then I was not invited back to training camp my second year, so I had to be a tryout player again my second year of college. And then I earned a scholarship going into my fourth semester, a full ride scholarship, and then I had that taken away, and then I ended up being on full scholarship my last 3 years and being the starter for those 3 years.
Well, I love the timing of this because last week, Father Jason Nyoka talked about one of the values of sport reflecting what we know as Christians, which is perseverance. And it sounds, Thomas, like what you're saying is you had to be very, very, what would the word be? Perseverant in getting a position that wasn't as the starter and having to continually work to earn your spot.
Yeah, I was not a recruited guy at a high school, and the only reason I was able to go to college to begin with was because I got an engineering scholarship for academics. And so that was certainly my focus. To be quite honest, I almost quit football after the first 3 or 4 weeks of my freshman year because I'd never lifted weights before, and it just felt like I was perpetually sore, like I never felt good, and just really challenging. It's kind of a shell shock to my body. And I hung in there, and I think I kind of had my first kind of glimmer of hope probably about 6 or 7 weeks into the semester, where I stopped being sore every single moment of every day, and remember feeling pretty fresh off of a weekend off, and the first time I felt that way, and I went out for practice, and the ball really was jumping off my foot, and I just kind of made the connection, wow, this weightlifting and training is, I can see the difference already. And so I just really fell in love with the process of training. And we had a kid that was a junior and then a senior my first 2 years that was the starter at kicker and punter. Mm-hmm. And so I knew there was no realistic chance that I would ever get even a chance, because they were just two really good players that were productive and, you know, had been accountable to the team and done really well. And so kind of took the pressure off to, like, be ready to perform day in and day out. I never got any reps in practice, and it was just really about training. And so I just got after it, and, you know, fast forward 2 years, and I was, I think I walked on at 182 pounds, and 2 years later I was 225 pounds. And
wow.
Just had a, you know, all those, I was a late bloomer physically too, so, you know, your hormones when you get into that 18, 19, 20 years old, and the gains that I was able to make in those 2 years, and I continued that process for all 5 years of college.
Everything that you just described, was it done in isolation, or was there, say, maybe a Fellowship of Christian Athletes chapter on campus that you had some support around you? Was it maybe a position coach? Was it your dad? Or, like I said, was it just all kind of self-initiated?
I would say there's a balance of a few things. Number one, I think there were definitely some isolated times, right? I went off to college. I didn't know one person when I went to college that from my high school or any other thing. And that was quite uncomfortable and lonely at times. Number two, you know, I almost transferred after my first year to another school closer to home. At the time, I was dating a girl that was from my high school, and being lonely, not getting opportunities on the team that I felt like were deserved, just all of it added up to me, you know, looking for a way out. And my parents really encouraged me. You know, I made the dean's list my first semester and second semester, and they said, look, you're doing so well. You're working hard. We can see the changes that are happening. You know, really just hang in there. So that they were probably my biggest support. And, you know, another thing, like I said before, was that I could see the results. They were tangible. I was gaining confidence. I was building myself up physically, which gave me confidence that I didn't have prior to that. And so, you know, I was definitely seeing progress, which was, you know, I was fortunate that sometimes when you work at something, progress is sometimes hard to see, or growth is hard to see. So I was fortunate to have some positive reinforcement when it comes to that.
Yeah, this is also very inspirational. And for those of you listening who are parents, this is a great interview for you to listen to with your children so that they can take inspiration from exactly what Thomas just described for us. And by the way, if you did not hear my interview 3 weeks ago with Jared Veldier, who played in the NFL for 12 years, as recently as being on the Colts practice squad this past December, go back and listen to that, because he told a similar story to what Thomas just said. Was there was a point in time where Jared was prepared to walk away from football, and I won't do a spoiler here, so just go back and hear what caused him to stick with it. And of course, as I said, he went on to enjoy 12 years in the NFL. And audience, I hope you enjoy as much as I do the instances where we get to hear a pro athlete talk about draft day. Thomas, take us back to 2009 and getting picked by the Saints, and all your years paying off to play the sport you love in the best league in the world.
Oh, I can remember it like it was yesterday.
Wow.
We were at my house in Dallas, and I just had family and a few close friends, because you never know what's going to happen. And I thought I would get drafted, but I didn't know. And so I just had a few close friends, knowing that no matter what happened, they would be there for me. And if it was a letdown, that those were people that I would want to be there no matter how it went.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I went out really late the night before because I didn't want to wake up super early. So somebody came and woke me up at 9 o'clock when the draft started. Back then, it was just a 2-day event. And somebody came and woke me up at 9, and I just came downstairs and sat on the couch and just waited and watched. And I remember there were two, me and another punter, Kevin Huber, were kind of the 1 and 2 rated punters, depending on who you talk to. And so he got drafted first early in the fifth round. And so once that happened, I felt very confident that I've got to be next. And so I think I waited for, 15 picks or 20 picks, something like that. And towards the end of the fifth round, I got a phone call, 504 area code, and the Philadelphia Eagles were on the clock, who had privately worked me out. So everybody in the room thought I was getting drafted by the Eagles, and it was Mickey Loomis, the general manager of the New Orleans Saints, and he just said, "Hey, Thomas, how would you like to punt in a dome for the rest of your career?" And I said, "That sounds pretty good to me." But I didn't know who he was at the time, and so he said, "Hey, I'm going to hand the phone over to our head coach, Sean Payton." And although Coach Payton is a very well-known guy these days, back then, I still wasn't certain of who that was. I thought it was the Saints, but I wasn't sure. And so Coach Payton got on the phone, and he just said, "Hey, we're gonna draft you." And I'd heard horror stories about guys being told they were going to get drafted. And I told him flat out, I said, "I don't believe you. The Eagles are on the clock." And he laughed. And he just said, "No, we're trading up right now with the Eagles.
Wow.
Just hang on the phone here." And so I got off the phone, and I get emotional even talking about it because my parents were there. And, I've been close to home my whole life, and I didn't tell anybody who it was. I said, "It's happening, but you'd have to wait." And all of a sudden it flashed up on the screen. Philadelphia trades their pick to the New Orleans Saints. And I still remember my mom just screaming, 6 hours down I-10, right down the interstate. And it was just such a wonderful moment for me and my family. Never forget it.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. I'm getting choked up myself, but still a very cool story nonetheless. And by the way, them flashing the Eagles are traded with the Saints, that affirmed for you, okay, it is the Saints. That's who I thought.
Absolutely.
Folks, as I said, just from a pure sports standpoint, those stories are always really fun to hear. But to put the emphasis on the first word in Catholic Sports Radio and highlighting what should come first in our lives, stories of the Catholic faith having an impact on someone's life might be entertaining, but they for sure are powerful. And so while, yes, we have a little bit more football to talk, I want Thomas to instead take us through his conversion story, and not to be a party pooper, but I do need to share that, ouch, I'm really starting to get hit with bills for this ministry lately. It just feels like this storm where they're all coming in at once. I had reported on a recent episode about the $467.64 bill that I had gotten for the website hosting, and that just hit my credit card approximately 10 days ago. Now I just got hit with an invoice for $200 for the website security platform, which scans for malware and provides a firewall, as well as hack and incident response. And then on top of that, you need to keep in mind the recurring monthly charges that I've mentioned before, like the $90 a month for the web developer and the work that she does under the hood, the $20 each month for the podcast hosting service, and as you're hearing it, really is adding up. I say all of this because this is a ministry for me, and I do not get any income from doing this show, which means that I have to try to find some way out of my own pocket to cover the various expenses that come with running Catholic Sports Radio, both on and off the air. I ask you as a result to prayerfully consider this ministry as part of your tithing. In church, we will hear usually the pastor breaking down the percentages that we are supposed to be giving, and there's always a percentage that's for the organization or ministries plural of your choice. If this show is helping you in your faith life, if you believe in the mix of faith and sports, if you like what I'm doing with the Catholic Sports Radio ministry and you see value in all that I put into this and would like to support these ongoing efforts, I would be most grateful for your making a financial gift. There is a blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. As some listeners and guests who have done it would attest, that is fast, easy, and secure. There is no list of amounts to have to choose from. You simply type in whatever amount you're comfortable giving. And by the way, this will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. Alternatively, as some folks have opted to do, you can get in touch with me about sending a check through the mail. Contact me through the website or through social media, or just email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with details on sending something that way. Regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or sending me a check With your permission, I will happily say your name on the air as a public thanks, or as some people have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Thomas, before all that, you were telling us about having gotten drafted in 2009. Your NFL journey was underway, and then if I have this right, 4 years later, you started a 10-year journey that ultimately led to your conversion to the Catholic faith last year. Take us back 10 years. What put the Catholic faith on your radar in terms of the possibility of conversion? And then, as I said in the intro, tell the audience about who has previously been on the show that helped you along the way.
Sure. Well, I guess number one, getting married to my wife, Lauren, and she is Catholic, and we did our marriage prep with Monsignor Christopher Nolte down in uptown New Orleans. And he really was the first person that got me persuaded, intrigued, curious. He answered some questions for me about some of my hiccups with the Catholic faith that were never answered until I had that conversation with him. I'm paraphrasing something over, you know, many years of having a relationship with him. He was wonderful as our marriage prep. One thing I really liked about him was that, without getting specific, he just seemed to have lived a full life with lots of life experience prior to becoming a priest, and was able to speak on that. And I really found it authentic and quite vulnerable, honestly, some of the stuff that he shared. And I really appreciated it. And he really kind of opened me up to it. And then obviously we started having children. We've gone to Catholic Mass. And just, you know, I think something else that really was hard was not doing communion with my kids as they started to go through that process. And, you know, I started sitting down with either him or some of our pastors at our church that we go to now, having conversations, a dinner here or there, having more conversations, getting questions answered. And at some point, I just felt like I was ready to do that. And it's been wonderful. And it's great to be able to do that with a family. And it was awesome to have my kids see Dad, you know, not taking, you know, communion at Mass. And then at some point going through classes just like they were doing and having conversations about it and what the differences were and why I felt I was ready to do that. So hopefully it's something that they'll remember, and it wasn't like this is just the way it always was. There'll be a why to it other than, you know, just all we ever knew, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and we all have our own faith story, and those that have been on the show that have a conversion story, everybody has a different story, and I'm so blessed to have a front row seat to everybody's story, 284 episodes, more than 5 years in. And for some, it was one big significant moment. Others, it was more gradual, like Thomas just described. But Thomas, along your NFL career, I have to believe you have seen teammates around you who maybe you've looked at and thought, what is it about him? What does he have? Meaning that it was someone, they were teammates, who were strong Christians, possibly even Catholic. Can you tell us who some of those guys were and how they impacted you?
Yeah, absolutely. So in my first 3 years, I had two different field goal kickers as teammates that were both in their 40s at the time. John Carney was the first. He was a teammate in 2009 and 2010. And then John Casey, who was a teammate in 2011. Both of these guys have just been incredible mentors for me. Some, you know, guys that when I was a young man, still kind of searching, and you know, we're always on our own path, always searching, always learning, but they really made a big impact on me. And, you know, they weren't aggressive or assertive about, you know, saying, why aren't you doing this? There was no judgmentalness. It was just, there was something about them that was different, and they both had wonderful families. And they were just like, wow, I want what this person has. And that was through lots of getting to know them, conversations that developed into lifelong friendships. And it's been really cool to share with them over the course of time what their mentorship and their time. I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure I'm just one of many for those guys. And so I think it's important, especially as you get older. NFL life is kind of a preparation for the aging process in life. And I think when you get towards the end of your time in the NFL, probably just the same as in life, it's an encouragement to let people know that they've positively influenced the direction of your life and your family's life and how you do things. And I've been able to, you know, let those guys know how much they've meant to me.
Well, what's interesting is, as you started into that answer, the more that I listened, I thought, is Thomas talking about these two from a Christian standpoint or a football standpoint? And it almost sounds to me as though they did both for you. Granted, they were kickers and you're a punter, but it sounds like they kind of showed you the ropes in terms of being an NFL player, but more so, yes, they were being strong Christians and showing you just how to be a good person and how to carry yourself on and off the field as a son of God and not just as, look at me, I'm an NFL player now.
No, I think the best way to put it is, just like a good parent, instead of telling you how to do it, they just did it. You just watch them, and you learn so much more from watching people, how they talk, how they interact with people, how they share care and encourage. And both of those guys were just models of that more than anything. And it led to me, instead of them trying to, you know, ambitiously make changes, it led to players like me inquiring, asking questions, because I was personally drawn to it and I wanted to have what they had. And it just led to kind of an organic sort of, you know, relationship that was really amazing.
Yeah, it reminds me of a conversation I had with my spiritual director one time where I was so on fire for my faith, he had to kind of calm me down a little bit and the spiritual hangover and said, you don't need to stand on the street corner, you know, that's my job. And he said, just be Bruce and let people see Jesus in you. And I feel like, Thomas, that that's what you're describing happened with those two guys, is that they carried themselves in a way that you were able to see Jesus in them and to lead by example.
Absolutely. Couldn't say it better myself.
I want to bring Reverend Monsignor Christopher Nolte's name back up. And by the way, audience, if you never heard that one, that was episode 238. It was August of last year. As I understand it, Thomas, you went to Rome with him. Is that correct?
No, not with him. He had just said, hey, if I can help organize something for you, would you guys make yourself available last second? And we said, sure, we definitely would. And this was a year after we'd been married. And my family's from England originally, so when we go over to visit my family, we would always try to go somewhere else over there. Just, you know, while we're all the way over there, let's go see something we haven't seen. And so that year after we got married was Italy, and Monsignor just said, check your email every night because I'm going to try to see if I can get something set up for you, and he certainly did.
Beautiful, beautiful. Was the Vatican part of that trip?
It was, but we were able to go underneath the Vatican on a scavy tour and get a look at St. Peter's remains. And it felt like a combination of, you know, we had a third year seminary student take us through, and you're, you know, I'm a big, tall guy, and we're going through doorways that are 4.5, 4 feet tall. So it felt like we were kind of Indiana Jones partially, and also we were getting historical context, we were getting biblical context. Some of those are both the same, and kind of got a story of what the legend was of the church being actually built on St. Peter's remains, and then getting the whole story of how that discovery came about in the 30s when the Pope at the time was picking where his burial was going to be inside of the Vatican, and all of a sudden they go to dig and there's a hole and there's what's underneath, and do we go look at it or not go look at it? Maybe there's nothing underneath, maybe there is no burial site. And that whole process was just an awesome experience, and it was very, very moving, and just an amazing experience.
Wow. Let's do a two-part question. Very shortly, you will be back out in the field under the summer sun getting ready for another season. Praise God for the long career that you've had. The first part of the question is there anything you do to take your faith out on the field with you? And the second question is, what does the upcoming season look like for the Jets?
So most of our games are on Sundays. And, you know, I find that game day can be a spiritual experience for me Number one, it's provided me and my family everything we have. It's really the only job I've ever had to provide for my family. And it's on a Sunday, and I try to, like, whatever pull I have in my life, so if I'm getting praise or positivity, I try to deflect that, and I try extra hard to keep my feet on the ground when that happens. And sometimes it's like being out on the beach on a deserted island or the coast where all you can see is ocean. You feel really small and insignificant. And I think for game days for me, I just think back to being a kid from Pearland, Texas, that has had just this unbelievable series of events that has led me to where I'm at, and the fact that I'm still playing, I'm the oldest punter in the league. And I just try to have this sort of mindset of just how grateful I am to be where I'm at, to still get to do this job. To quote a teammate of mine, we get paid a king's ransom to play a child's game. And it's just an incredible thing to be able to do that and to be counted on by teammates in big moments. And with the roar of the crowd and all of the juice that comes from game day, I find myself on game day just trying to just keep myself centered. And no matter if I have a good play, a bad play, a lucky play, an ugly play, of just staying in the moment. And a lot of times, you know, I'm in my own space, kind of like when you should pray quietly by yourself and not for everybody to see. A lot of times during the game, that's kind of how I pass my time, just with kind of little prayers throughout the game. And it just keeps me in a really steady space. And one of the issues that specialists can have, or anybody that really has to perform, is the fear of failure or things that can be negative energies for you. And I just try to, when I'm in that place, I don't think about, or I'm generally, it's not perfect, but I'm always trying to be in a place where I'm not even thinking about the result. What if this happens? What if that happens? All I'm doing is, I feel like God's put me there that day to do a job, and I've done all the preparation. I did all the work, the rest, the recovery, the nutrition, all of the things that are required for me to be my best. And I almost feel like the results are not up to me. And that gives you a lot of freedom to just truly do your best.
Yeah, and I like that it's kind of a posture of the gifts and talents that he's blessed you with. You are recognizing that and giving it back to him, if you understand the spirit with which I'm saying that.
Absolutely. And the same goes for when I don't do well, right? It's being able to handle that with grace. And instead of deflecting the praise, you take the bullet. You know, you take accountability. And I think there's opportunities to, you know, be a light regardless of circumstance. And so sometimes you just have to accept whatever it is. And I just try to, you know, I think, would my mom be proud of, whether it's a post-game interview, answering a question about something that happened that was negative, would my mom, my wife, or my kids, would they be proud of how I'm answering this?
Wow.
And am I being a light for them? Because that's really who I'm accountable to in my life.
Wow.
Obviously fans, and that's a responsibility. Kids are watching what you do, but that's my inner circle. Those are the people that I'm accountable to. And so I really try to keep them in my frame of reference as well.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And what does the upcoming season look like for the Jets? I know there's lots of Jets fans who are hanging on the edge of their seat, wanting to know what they can look forward to in 2024 NFL season.
Yeah, listen, I've never been in the prediction game. you know, I've had years where, you know, I really was high on the team and we didn't do as well. And I've had years where, you know, I really didn't know how it was going to go. We ended up being great. So at the end of the day, no matter where you're at as an individual, every year's team is different. Every year's chemistry is different. Every year's team takes on a different personality. And you just have to build a new house every year, right? You don't just, like, go back into the old house that you built last year. right? There's some things that you learned from building that house.
Wow.
Right? Hopefully experiences that you'll be able to take. But you still have to go back and you still have to build a new foundation. You know, you kind of have to do the whole process again and know that it's going to be very difficult. And the higher the expectation means that people start circling you on the calendar, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get people's best shots. So it's never easy. It's never easy. And I think if you have that mindset, whether it's for this season or for life, it's always going to be hard. Then I think you have a chance. And just know that you have to go, you know, there's no, you don't get to skip steps. You don't get to, you know, shortcut here. It's like you got to go back through and you got to, you know, you got to earn it.
Wow.
You've got to, you know, go through the process all over again. And
wow.
I think if everybody has that mindset, you got a chance.
Oh, amen. Tremendous, tremendous perspective. Thomas, your Christian heart shows through being in service to the community. Back in March, you ran in the Crescent City Classic in support of Team Gleason. Talk about that, but also in your Facebook post about that, someone posted a comment referring to, quote, your classy act of lining up for the extra point in Minneapolis, end quote, and that Vikings fan giving to your charity after that. Do you have a charity, or were they referring to Team Gleason?
So, number one, I do not have a charity anymore. I used to. Whenever I got cut by the Saints, then COVID happened. It shut all of our programming down. And then our executive director left. Anyways, and I've been on the road with different teams the past few years, so it's been, we had to shut everything down because it just was, we weren't able to do a lot of the things that we had been able to do. I do still support a lot of the groups that we were supporting through the foundation, Team Gleason being one of them. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that we do is, you know, just maybe people wouldn't know about it, which is great. I still support Team Gleason. We're going to be doing something for this season coming up, which I'm really excited about, but it's still in the, you know, the ideas phase. So looking forward to announcing that at some point soon.
Awesome. Awesome. Let's close by having you tell us about your wife, how long the two of you been married, as well as the family that the two of you have made.
Sure. So we've been married for, it'll be 11 years coming up this month. And we have five children, a 10-year-old boy, 8-year-old boy, 7-year-old girl, a 5-year-old girl, and then a 5-week-old boy. And, you know, we had kind of a rocky dating relationship. We never actually lived in the same place, so we were not around each other, and we were never phone talkers, either of us. So we dated for quite a while through college and through my first few years in the NFL. But we've actually known each other since 1998. We went on a mutual family friend, both of our families, a ski trip back when she was 10 and I was 12. So we've known each other for a long time.
Wow.
And she's just, you know, I think every person, if you're lucky to get married, I think one of the best things you can ever do is marry the right person. And I feel like I hit the jackpot. And we're just very grateful to have the big family that we have. And, you know, we're pushing ourselves. We wish we could kind of freeze time right now. Everybody's healthy, and we're all together as a family, so it's pretty good.
And are the two of you putting the kids in Catholic school?
This past year, we've actually homeschooled because of our unique situation with living wherever I play, which is currently New Jersey for the Jets, and then being back home in New Orleans. So we have a teacher that we've hired to help us do the homeschooling, who also does some, you know, Catholic formation teaching as well for us. So it's been a good fit for us. And most importantly, it's allowed us to all stay together and, you know, do life as a family together.
Nice. Nice. Thomas, so wonderful to talk to you. Thank you for sharing your story with us. Thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
And we're going to close with a prayer that I was tempted to pull out an athlete's prayer for obvious reasons. I know that Thomas has just described for us the family that means so much to him, and we're all sons and daughters of God. We're all his children, and I thought that it would be kind of different if we did a parent's prayer before a game. So let's pray this together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Strong and faithful God, as we come together for this contest, we ask you to bless these athletes, our children. Keep them safe from injury and harm. Instill in them respect for each other and reward them for their perseverance. Lead us all to the rewards of your kingdom, where you live and reign forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.